It always makes me feel good when an elder tells me I can talk as long as I want. Don't know how it makes you feel, but it makes me feel good. It's wonderful to be here back in Springfield, Missouri, here at Watermill. We have fond, fond memories of this congregation. There's not a week that goes by that Karen doesn't tell me how much she misses all the teaching that she got while she was here. She feels that she grew significantly as a Christian from all the things that she learned while she was a member here at Watermill. I thank this congregation for your love for the Lord and for your desire to see the Great Commission fulfilled throughout the world. All of your brothers and sisters in Christ throughout West Africa have asked me to come here and extend their greetings to you as they do every year. The students from the various schools throughout West Africa are so thankful for your support so that they can go into our different schools and study the Word of God. The staff at the different schools are so thankful for you so that they can fulfill their dream of organizing these works so that they can train preachers to edify and to expand the kingdom in that part of the world. My travels have taken me many, many places this year, and I'm so thankful for the prayers that I know that you have petitioned God for the safety of missionaries throughout the world, and I know that God is listening to those prayers, and I thank you so much for that also. Usually when I give a report, I don't like to just show you pictures and describe those pictures. I like to give some sort of message intertwined into the report, and this is no exception. Most of my mission messages are evangelistic in nature. So I think most of you know the Great Commission that you find in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples." It says teach in the King James, but make disciples in the other versions, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that is our mission in West Africa. That is our goal in West Africa, is to train Christians who can go out and make disciples by preaching the true gospel of Christ. And I've underlined under there the true gospel of Christ, because one of the major challenges that I face in this work is dealing with people who are teaching false gospels. And one of these significant false gospels that we see throughout the world or through West Africa is the idea that you can be saved by faith alone. And they will use verses like John 3:16, which I'm sure all of you know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish." And I agree with that verse completely. I agree that if you believe in Christ, you should not perish. You shouldn't, because you'll do what Christ has commanded you to do. Or they use verses like Ephesians 2:8 and 9, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And they'll say, "See, there you are saved by faith." But nowhere in there does it say that you are saved by faith alone. Or they'll use verses like Romans 10:9 and 10, where it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised Him from the dead, you should be saved. And they say, "See, right there it says all you have to do is believe and confess." But once again, they are misinterpreting that verse, because if you confess Jesus as your Lord, then you will do what that your Lord has commanded you to do. That's why Jesus said in verses like Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say?" There's another false gospel that is related to this and is almost even more dangerous, because sometimes you'll find people in the Church of Christ, in the brotherhood, that will teach this gospel, and that is the gospel of faith alone and baptism alone, or faith and baptism alone. And they will go to somebody who has believed this false gospel, that all they have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God and be saved, and they'll say, "Oh, but you missed one thing. And the one thing that you missed is to be baptized. So now that you believe, all you need to do is to be baptized. And they'll go to verses like Mark 16, 15, and 16, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every human being. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. And they'll say, see, all you need to do is to believe and to be baptized. But they're leaving out an important part of the gospel, and that is repentance. When John the Baptist came as the forerunner of Christ in Matthew 3, verse 1, he came preaching repentance. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus came, he did not come preaching a gospel of just believe in me. When Jesus came, he came preaching a gospel of repentance. In Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's no doubt that Jesus preached that you must believe. In John 8:24, he said that if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. There's no salvation without belief. And there's no doubt that Jesus preached that you must be baptized. In John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, or be born from above, or except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we know that that passage is talking about being buried with Christ in baptism. But that same Jesus, also in Luke 13, 3, said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. He gave this message to his apostles to go out and preach when they were with him, and the first century Christians went out and preached this same message. When Paul went to Athens and he was preaching to those who were worshiping an unknown God, he said to them that the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. If a man repents and is truly repented, then he will always do what Christ has commanded him to do, and that's to be buried with him in baptism. So don't think that I am minimizing the necessity of baptism or minimizing the necessity of faith. I'm just saying that the gospel that we are preaching throughout West Africa is that all men everywhere need to repent. And the question is, how are we going to get that message to all men everywhere? What are we going to do to fulfill God's command to us that we go out and teach all men everywhere to repent? And that's the work we're doing in Africa. If you look at this map, and those of you who have seen this presentation before have seen this map before, the area in green in Africa is the area that's almost completely Islamic. You probably see a lot about Islam on the news. Well, I see a lot of Islam where I go. The area that's in the circular area is an area that's a mixture of Islam and those who are not of the Islamic faith, and that's the area that we're working. Right now we have 9 schools of preaching, and these stars indicate where those schools of preaching are. At these 9 schools of preaching right now, we have 165 students. When I first went to Africa, it was me alone with a Bible in my hand going out and preaching the gospel. And I thought to myself, there has to be a better way. And now today, we are training 165 men who make the perfect missionaries. They can eat the food. They can get malaria, and they don't get as sick as I do. They know the languages. They know the culture. They can sleep in places that you couldn't even imagine. They can live in circumstances that many of us here in America wouldn't even fathom going into. And so these men make the perfect missionaries. And we are training 165 men and women. I say women because we're teaching some women also in the Bible in some of these schools, in these various places throughout West Africa. This year alone, we had 64 graduates from 4 of our schools throughout West Africa, and I want to spend the next few minutes just looking at some of those graduates. 9 schools, 6 different countries, 165 present students, 64 graduates in 2016, and just like Adam said, I hope you have this memorized, because there will be a test at the end. First King 6. The temple. Okay. The West Coast School of Preaching. In Takoradi, we had 16 graduates from this school this year. This is in the southern portion of Ghana. Ghana is very, very instrumental in the welfare of the true gospel throughout the world. People have asked me before, why do you have 3 schools in Ghana? Why are you training 50 or 60 men or 70 men every year or every other year in the country of Ghana? Well, Ghanaians, wherever they go in the world, they preach the gospel. I was looking at Scandinavia the other day, and the Church of Christ in Stockholm, the preacher there is a Ghanaian. My wife and I worshipped at a congregation in Paris one time. And you think of Paris as being a part of the world that is made up of Europeans. And out of that congregation of maybe 200, I think there were 3 or 4 people that had skin color of ours. And all the rest of them were either Africans or somebody from that part of the world. So Ghanaians, wherever they go, when they have come to know the truth, they will spread the truth. They don't go somewhere and know the truth and say, well, there's nobody else here that is a member of the church. There's no church here, so I don't know what I'll do. They say, wherever they go, they say, I am the church. And then they will go out and find other people because Ghanaians are very social people. They don't like to worship alone. And they'll say, since I am the church, I better go find somebody to worship with me. And you'll find many, many Ghanaian congregations throughout Europe. This is a picture of the graduation that we recently had in Ghana. We get the graduates in the blue together with existing preachers, and they come together, and these existing preachers, the ones that aren't dressed in the blue, will pray for these graduates before they go out to proclaim the gospel. So it's an opportunity for us to send these men out, just like the disciples were sent out in the first century. We now have 22 students at this school in Takoradi. One of my major roles in this work in West Africa is to empower the staff at these schools. Just a few years ago, this school in Takoradi was only having 6 students or 7 students. And I said to them, what is your problem? What is the problem? Why do you only have 6 or 7 students? Can you not find students? What are you doing to find students? And they said, we're sending out letters. And I said, is that working for you? And they said, well, it's not working very well. And I said, well, why don't we try something else? And we sat down, we came up with ideas, and now, just a few years later, we are up to from 6 students to 22 students. And so that's one of my roles, is to help these men to improve these schools. Another school that we have, we just created this school or established this school about 2 years ago in southern Ghana in the city of Accra. If any of you ever come visit me in Ghana, I know some of you sitting up here at the front are going to come see me sometime. And when you come to Ghana, you'll fly into the city of Accra. I can remember the first time I flew into this city. It's a city of about 6 million. You're up there in the airplane and you look down at this city of 6 million and it's completely dark. You don't see a light anywhere. I mean, it's amazing to go into a city of 6 million people and you're walking down the street and the only lights that you see are candles. And so that's the type of city that this is. But there, 2 years ago we established this school, and this year we had 11 men that graduated in the maiden class from this school. It's a wonderful opportunity for us here. There are so many men in this part of the world that want to study the Bible, that want to learn what they need to do to go out and to preach to others. All these people that you see in the blue behind those that are graduating are all new students. And so right now we have 30 new students at this school. With the 22 we have in Takoradi, that's 52 students in these 2 schools in southern Ghana. All of these are the new students at that school. The third school I want to say something about is in Ibadan, Nigeria. In Nigeria, we had 16 graduates at this program this year. These are some of those graduates. In this program here, we also have an opportunity for women to come in and study the Bible. We're not training them to be preachers. We're training them to be proficient in the Bible and use that knowledge in their role in the church, whatever acceptable role that they are able to play. The board at the school got together and tried to decide, how should we do this? They said, well, should women study the Bible? They said, yes. And so why not give them an opportunity to study it here? And so we have a number of women that are in this class in Ibadan, Nigeria, and we have 30 students who are studying. You can see the desks that they have to study at. We have nice padded benches here. These are hard seats. They sit on these seats for 2,000 hours in 2 years. 2,000 hours of sitting at this seat in this close quarters with other people. To me, that is a great, great desire. A great desire to study the Word of God. And these men are greatly evangelistic once they go, and women are doing a wonderful work after they leave these places. This last school is in Watutu, Cameroon. This graduation really hasn't taken place yet. It's supposed to take place next week, but it's included in this presentation. These are some of the students on the left that will be graduating. They've already brought in 20 new students at this school. We have three other schools that I'm not going to talk about tonight. One of them is in Tamale. I've told you a lot about that school before. That's the town I lived in for 5 years. It's about 95% Islamic, about 600,000 people in that town, but they didn't have a graduation this year, and since I think he was joking about the amount of time I had tonight, I'm not going to go there. And we also have a school in Palame, Togo. It's a French-speaking country. Next year when I come, I'll tell you more about that school. We have another school in Mbanga, Cameroon, which is another French-speaking area that I'll be talking about next year. All three of those schools will have graduations next year since they only have graduations every other year. We have two new Bear Valley schools this year. Since I didn't have enough to do, I told my wife, I don't have enough to do with only seven schools, and I'm only gone like 6 months of the year. Let me see what else I can do. And so I had this idea to start two new schools in West Africa, in Liberia and Sierra Leone. These nations, these two nations have been greatly influenced by a number of negative things over the past few years. One of these is Ebola. I'm sure that you've heard about it. A couple of years ago, I talked about the Ebola crisis. We sent over some relief to the church there because they were having a lot of problems with members dying. When I go here, I cannot come across anybody who has not had somebody in their family or somebody close to them that died because of this crisis. Well, finally, in January of this year, they declared this area to be Ebola-free. And so about that time, I told my wife, it's time for me to go to Sierra Leone and Liberia, because now it's Ebola-free. And she told me, well, don't come back for 21 days, because supposedly that's the incubation period for Ebola. So she said, it's fine for you to go, just don't come back home. And so I said, okay. So before, but it wasn't long after they declared Ebola free that I went to both Liberia and Sierra Leone. One of the big things that both of these countries had to deal with in their recent past was civil wars. So from 1989 to 2003, both of these countries had very bad civil wars. It wasn't until June of this year that the UN actually pulled out of Liberia. They pulled out a few years ago in Sierra Leone, and they have left both of these countries with infrastructures that are totally destroyed. And so both of them have significant problems. If you go to Liberia right now, the poverty there is immense. If you look at the countries in the world, there's about 230 countries, approximately, I don't know how many, but around 230. Liberia is around 225 out of 230 in the rank of poverty. The per capita income in Liberia right now is $800 per year. $800 per year. Most of these families live on less than a dollar or two a day. Right now, we have 20 students who are studying at this school in Ganta, Liberia. It's almost to the Guinea border. Actually, when I went there, I've been there a couple of times this year. I crossed into Guinea. That's where the Ebola crisis actually began, was in Guinea, and then it went down into Liberia and Sierra Leone. These are some of the new students. We have 20. This is 13 of them. These are some Thompson Chain Reference Bibles that we have been giving to these students. I really like these Bibles because they are a study Bible that these students can use. And they are, most study Bibles that you get are put out by those who don't have a knowledge of the truth, and they will put commentary in there that would have the tendency to mislead somebody. Commentary like, "You're saved by faith alone." And I don't want to ever give a Bible to somebody that they would open it up and say, "Oh, Stephen gave me this Bible, and so that's why I'm teaching this false doctrine." And so these Bibles have a lot of study helps in them, but they don't have commentary in there that I have seen that can mislead people. This is the staff at the school in Liberia. If you look at the guy in the middle, he's a guy named Robert Don. He was a Liberian refugee. When they had the war in Liberia, many of the Liberians ran to Ghana, to like the Syrians are running away to Europe. At that time, the Liberians were running to Ghana because Ghana is English-speaking. Liberia is English-speaking. So Robert Don, when he went to Ghana, was converted. Somebody taught him the truth. He became a member of the Church of Christ. We brought him into the school in Takoradi. He graduated from the school in Takoradi a number of years ago, and now he's here directing a school in Liberia and training his own people to go out and preach the gospel. And I think that's a good example of 2 Timothy 2:2 in action, where we are teaching men to go out and teach other faithful men. The man just to the left of Robert Don is another man that is a graduate of a Bible college in Ghana. This is another example where Ghanaians are having an influence on the church throughout West Africa. Not long after this school was established, they went out on their first gospel campaign and planted a new church. They actually had a debate with those in a denomination in a village and convinced them that they were going the wrong way and converted the entire congregation. And so they had 55 people that obeyed the gospel on this first campaign that they had just a few months after they began classes. And so this is a wonderful work. We haven't began the work in Sierra Leone yet. We're putting everything in order. I'll be going in January for the opening ceremony. If you want to Google Kenema, Sierra Leone, if you've ever heard of the movie Blood Diamonds, this would be the area where this took place, where they had the diamond mines, and they were having child labor mine these diamonds so that they could use them to finance the civil war that was taking place in both Sierra Leone and Liberia. But both of these countries have been so ravaged by the calamities that have taken place over the years that they have a great desire for something better. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to go in there and to preach the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, Peter continued this idea. The Apostle Peter, when the Church of Christ was established, that something no more than believing that Jesus is the Son of God is required for salvation. In Acts 2:38, he said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." And all of these people that you're seeing in these next few pictures are people who have obeyed the gospel of Christ in the current year. If you think about all of these people that we have been training, 165 men going out that we are training in the current year to preach the true gospel of Christ and the effect it will have on the work throughout West Africa. Even the staff members at these schools. We have 9 different schools in West Africa, at least 4 staff at each of these schools, so there's over 35 men who are being edified on a continual basis by studying to teach these others. And I think Bill can tell you, when you sit down to study the Word of God to teach somebody else, you end up learning a lot more than the people that you are teaching. And so we're not only impacting the students and their ability to go out and preach the gospel, but we are energizing the staff at all these congregations or at all these schools to go out and to do the same thing. I want to spend the next few minutes just looking at some of the specific needs, specific and general needs for evangelism, for some of the schools, and for different congregations throughout West Africa. And this is just an idea. If you have some idea that you want to help with something, these are some of the things that you could possibly help. And they range all the way from $10 all the way up to $1,000. First, Bibles. As I said, Thompson Chain Reference Bibles. I've been trying to give these to all of the students. At the beginning, that seemed like just an easy thing to do, but now I'm up to 165 students. If you take $55 or $60 times 165 students, it comes up to a significant amount. You're talking almost $10,000 to put a Bible, a study Bible, in each one of their hands. But if you take an army of men with these study Bibles going throughout West Africa, there's no telling what impact they can have. On the left, we have Bibles in their local languages. There's 70 languages in Ghana. There's about 1,600 ethnic groups throughout West Africa. Many of them speak their own languages, and these Bibles we can get for about $10 in their local languages. I've noticed when I go out in rural areas of West Africa, many times you'll see signs in every village of the congregations that are in those villages. The people in those villages are subsistence farmers, and so they don't have a lot of money. Somebody else is putting these signs up for them. And generally, these signs will say Church of Pentecost, or they'll say Assemblies of God, and there's something that give credibility to the church in those areas. And so somebody has suggested that we try to help some of these rural congregations to get signboards, and we can do that for about $50. Solar players. This is a solar-powered player that I can get in the country of Ghana for about $50. I have the ability to put a couple of indigenous language Bibles on it, an English Bible on it, and I have converted all of World Video Bible School's material into audio form, and there's enough room on there to put all of their World Video Bible School material on there. So classes on all the books of the Bible and all the classes that you would have in a general preacher training program. And we're trying to get these and to put them in the hands of preachers so that they can continue to edify themselves after they...
Matthew.
I don't know how to do it where you can hear it, but... I think everyone can understand that.
David, Munaye Abraham, Ayabu.
That's in the Kakomba language, but I also have, like I said, it's in English.
Lesson 1, Fundamentals of the Faith. Lesson 1.
Each of us at the World Video Bible School send you our...
So we can take these, we can put them in the hands of a preacher for $50. They're solar powered. They can take them out into the village where they have no electricity. They can charge them. They can go out and work in the field in the day, either at the farm or out to preaching to people. And at night, they can continue to edify themselves after they graduate from the school. Other things, goats for preachers. Somebody has proposed that we try to buy some goats for preachers, to 3 goats for a preacher to help them to support their families. Bicycles and motorcycles for preachers. We can buy a bicycle for $100, a motorcycle for around $900. This makes a preacher more mobile so he can go out and do the work. And PA systems for the different schools and copy machines for the schools, because at each of the schools we provide everything for the students. We give them all of their handouts for all of the classes, and so we have a lot of copies that we need to make. But all of these items can help those we're training to be better equipped to go out and preach the gospel of Christ. I always like to end these presentations by showing you pictures of the children. And I come in contact with many children throughout West Africa. If you look at the area of West Africa, the population of West Africa today is about 365 million people. The population of the United States is around 325 million people. So the population of West Africa is much larger than the population of the United States. And the number of children in West Africa is about 40% of the population under the age of 14. That gives us about 145 million children in West Africa, compared to about 65 million here in this country. 145 million children under the age of 14 in this area of the world. And all of these children are being taught something. All of these children have eternal souls. They're all going to spend eternity somewhere. And they're either going to learn the truth or they're going to learn something that is false. And the chances of them learning something false are much more likely than them learning the truth. They could learn African traditional religion, where they believe that they need to pay veneration to their ancestors and do what's necessary to go join their ancestors by following the religious rites of their forerunners. Or they might be taught the doctrine of the Quran and learn about Muhammad and learn about Islam and join the 1.7 billion Muslims that we have in the earth today, on the earth today. Or they might learn one of the false doctrines, one of the false gospels related to Christianity, the gospel of faith alone, or the gospel that all you must do to believe. Or they might learn the truth. And the only way that these children are going to learn the truth is somebody like us, who knows the truth, goes there, goes to their village, goes to their town, goes to a part of the world that most people don't want to go to. I mean, we like to go to places like Australia and places like that are nice, but West Africa is not nice. You don't have a lot of tourists going to West Africa. Who wants to take pills for malaria and take all of these shots that you have to take from getting hepatitis or cholera or typhoid so you don't get any of the diseases and then go over there and find out that there's nothing to do except look at the culture. There's no resorts. There's nothing like that you can spend your time in this part of the world. And so the only way these people are going to learn is if we go there and teach them. But the Great Commission is not only for West Africa. The Great Commission starts here right in Springfield, Missouri, and the gospel of repentance, the idea that you must turn away from your sins, that you must turn away from yourself and turn to Christ, is just as relevant here. Your eternal destiny depends upon the choice that you make here on this earth. Jesus is coming. There's no doubt in our mind. He has promised that He will come again in John 14 and many other places throughout the Word of God. There might be somebody here tonight who has never obeyed the gospel of Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you are willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus as your Lord, that means you're confessing Him as your personal Lord, and that means you must obey Him. And you are ready to be buried with Him in baptism. You can do that here tonight. You'll have your sins washed away. You'll become a child of God. You'll be added to the body of Christ, to the church of Christ, and you can continue that faithful walk that is for those who are going to that heavenly home. Or if you are here today and need the prayers of the congregation, or we can do anything for you whatsoever, we're going to ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.